the book of Job tonight, chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading in verse number 6. Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. Now there was a day, and let me say what a day that was. And if you live long enough, you'll have one of these days. For Job, this day turned into 365 of them. Because the chronological time period for the life of Job was a period of, and this book is 1 year. From the first chapter to the last chapter, it covers a period of 1 year in his life. When you read the book of Job, it seems like an eternity of problems, but it was just a year. It was a difficult year. It was a hard year. And we're going to have one of those years in our life. Now, there was a day. Now, that was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." I wonder how many will agree with me tonight that he was probably up to no good. Walking up and down in the earth, trying to find somebody to fling misery and despair on. And the Bible said in verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschew evil?" Now, this tells me something here. Satan had heard about Job. And I believe the devil was just afraid of Job as Job was the devil. Because notice what Satan said in verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Doth Job fear God for naught? And he had heard about him now because he said, Hast thou not made a hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Satan had heard that God had been good to Job. And Satan knew that Job had received blessings from God. But watch the accuser. But the Satan said to the Lord, "But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Can I just stop and say to the devil tonight, liar, liar, liar. You see, what the devil didn't understand is there's a group of people on this earth that not only praise God for what God has done, they praise God for who God is. And whether he does anything else or not, he's still right. He's still good. And he is still worthy of our praise. Verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not forth thy hand." Read this last phrase out loud with me. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You say, "Well, Brother Joe, where did he go to?" He went down to Job's house to try to fling misery and despair on this dear man. But I'm glad the devil got the surprise of his life. And I want to preach tonight for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, praise God, on what the devil found when he went down to Job's house. And can I remind you tonight, he's not only gone down to Job's house, he'll take a trip over to your place and mine. Because the Bible plainly tells us tonight that we have an adversary. We have a foe. We have an enemy. And the Bible says that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan tonight is not our friend. He is our foe. He is not our advocate. He is our adversary. He is not on our side. He is against us. And if Satan had his way about it, he would cause everybody under this tabernacle tonight to give up and give in and give over. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, "Preacher, how fragile is life?" I'll tell you, life is so fragile that every one of us are one phone call away from the deepest, darkest valley experience of our life. Isn't it amazing how one phone call, one doctor visit, one knock at the door, and your life is turned upside down? You know, tonight the devil is not in the saving business, he's in the sinking business. He's not in the blessing business, he's in the bewildering business. He's not in the delivering business, he is in the destroying business. And he has something bad planned for all of us. But I'm glad the Bible said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This one day in Job's life, you say, what happened to his life in this one day? In one day in Job's life, disaster took his fortune. One day in Job's life, disease tortured his flesh. One day in Job's life, deceit turned his friends. In one day in Job's life, death touched his family. And one day in Job's life, the devil tempted his faith. But I'm glad I have read the last chapter of the story of Job. He is living proof tonight that if God be for us, then who can be against us? He is living proof tonight that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He is living proof tonight that all things work together for good to them that love God. He is living proof tonight that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm glad to report to you tonight that the Bible is still true. And Jesus is still alive. And the Holy Spirit is still at work. And the blood of Jesus Christ has not lost its power. What did the devil find when he went down to Job's house? And I hope he'll find the same thing at your house and mine when he comes snooping around. Number one, if you will, look in chapter 1. And verse number 20, when the devil went down to Job's house, you know what he found? He found a man that would worship God's person. He found a man that would worship God's person. Notice what he said tonight in verse number 20. I love the opening phrase. Then Job arose. That in itself tore the devil's nerves up because the devil had knocked him down. The devil had pushed him down. The devil had talked him down. And the devil had beat him down. But I'm glad the Bible said he arose. He didn't stay down. He didn't stay defeated. Job got up. And I've come to tell somebody tonight, you can get up after being knocked down. I'm glad tonight that there is life on the other side of struggle. And Job arose. I read that the other day and my mind went back to some of the toys I had when I was a young'un. Man, there's people in this room that's as old as I am. We didn't have modern day toys. Most of us had to invent something to have a toy. But I remember having this little boxer. He was a little inflatable boxer about that tall. Had a mean look on his face. Had his fists raised with his boxing gloves. You blew him full of air. He must have been a Baptist because he's full of hot air. But brother, you could go up for that boxer and you could hit him and it'd knock him down. But man, in just a minute, he'd fly right back up in your face. Brother, you could tomahawk chop him. You could put a full Nelson on him. You can put him in the helicopter spin. You can suplex him. I can't help it if you don't know nothing about wrestling. You could body slam him. And no matter what you did to that old boy, in just a minute, he's going to get back up again. Well, like most boys, I wanted to find out what that dude had that kept him coming back to the top. And so I got me in the kitchen, I got me a knife. And I cut him open and let his air out. He really did look like a Baptist with the wind knocked out of his sails. And I began to cut around in that little boxer. And Pastor, I found out why. No matter how hard you punched him, how hard you kicked him, he always got back up because he had something real heavy that anchored him down on the inside. There was about 2 pounds of sand that he had down deep on the inside. And what he had on the inside was big enough to get him up no matter what happened on the outside. I'm glad tonight we that are born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, we've got something on the inside that's bigger than what we got on the outside, and it's big enough to get us up again no matter what happens on the outside. And Job arose. And I'm telling you, you're about to get out of that valley you're in. You're about to get out of that slough you're in. You're about to get out of that depression you're in because you've got somebody big and sovereign and powerful and alive on the inside. And his name is Jesus. Lord, I'm about to get blessed on my own preaching. Job arose. Verse number 20, Job arose. I'm hung up right there. The devil couldn't keep him down. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell back down upon the ground, not in defeat, but in adoration. Notice what the Bible said, fell down upon the ground, said out loud with me, and worshiped God. Man, I'm glad he worshiped God. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, we need to pray for a worshipful atmosphere. Oh, if you don't worship God, if you don't ever worship God until the atmosphere is right, you may never worship God. For God does not create the atmosphere of worship. Worship creates the atmosphere for God to move in your life. Someone said, boy, when God moves on me, I'm going to worship. That's not how it is. You worship God by faith. You honor God by faith. You praise God by faith. And as you worship God, and as you honor God, and as you praise God, God leaves his place and comes to your place. For the Bible said the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Brother, let's create the atmosphere for revival and unction and Holy Ghost blessing by worshiping God by faith. The atmosphere, I promise you, the atmosphere in Job 1 is not an atmosphere of joy. It's not an atmosphere of laughter. It's not an atmosphere of gaiety. It is an atmosphere of pain and trouble and trial and loss. But I'm glad the sovereign God of the Bible is not limited to the petrochemical pressure in the atmosphere. Son, we shout when we feel like it, and we shout when we don't feel like it. We shout when we got health, and we shout when we got sickness. I sat down beside my brother tonight. We go back a long way. He knew me when I was young. I knew him when he was younger. Man, that choir was singing, I've got so much to thank him for. And I see him with that little stub, sitting up in that chair, been down to death's door a time or two. And while they were singing, I got so much to thank him for. I saw that hand go up. Yeah, I'm sure he wishes he had his other foot back. I'm sure he wishes he never had to go through all of that physical malady. But somehow through his pain, through his loss, he's able to say, you know what? God's still good to me. God's still good to me. Woo! God is still good to me. The atmosphere is not too good. Job's lost everything that he's got. The devil's lowered his guns upon him. There's not a whole lot to laugh and to shout about. But Job realizes that God is great, and God is holy, and God is sovereign, and God is awesome. No matter what happens or what doesn't happen, he's still great. He's still awesome. He's still God. And he's worthy of our praise. For that word worship is an interesting word. It comes from a thought of worth-ship. You know, you can hear preaching and not worship. You can hear beautiful singing and not worship. Well, Brother Joe, what is real worship? It's when the soul and the spirit have been overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. And from a broken and contrite spirit, oh, I love this. You're just telling God how much he's worth. And can I confess, I'm not worth much. Don't be filled with pride. Most people I know are not worth much. But I want to tell you, there is one who is worth our praise, who is worth our service, who is worth our love. Can I just say, worthy is the Lamb of God. I thank him for what he's done. But for more than what he's done, I praise him for who he is. He is light. He is great. He is God. He is holy. He is love. He is mercy. He is sovereignty. He is faithful. He is glorious. He is wonderful. He is powerful. He is immutable. He's inspiring. He's great. He's God. There's nobody like him. He is worthy of our praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. May he find a man that'll worship God for who he is. You see, the devil is not only a liar, he's the father of all liars. And the devil has accused Job to God. Only reason why he serves you, because all that stuff you've given him. The only reason why he honors you is because all that stuff you've let him have. And God said, "Old Buster, I know you're a liar. But I'm going to prove to Job and all his buddies you're a liar." And that wild man from Georgia in 2014 is going to preach again at the High Point Camp Meeting, and I'm going to let them know way over yonder that you ain't nothing but a liar. Take your stuff, and he'll love me anyhow. Take his stuff, and he'll praise me anyhow. The devil said, "Oh no, God, if you let me take his stuff, he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Go ahead, son, but I'm not going to worry about it. I know that old boy. I know him well. He will not do that. So here the devil goes down to Job's house, and the birds are not singing. The wind is not blowing. The leaves are not moving. Hell and heaven and earth is silent. Well, here Job, he goes down on the mat. He's suplexed. He's pile-drived. He's body slammed. He's torpedoed. He's full Nelson. He's figure-eighted. He got the sleeper on him, put the big claw on him, run his head in the turnbuckle, hit him over the head with a metal chair. I mean, son, he's down. His tongues are hanging out, and blood and guts and eyeballs is everywhere. And the devil's got this old hellish grin on his face, and the demons can't hardly wait to jump up and accuse God again. Oh, I see his fingers as they begin to wiggle. I see his lips as they begin to move. I see his chest as it begins to heave, and all of a sudden the umpires are counting him out. One, two, and about two and a half, Job arose and he said, I got something I want to say. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. You ready? Here it is. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, Brother Joe, what does that mean in Hebrew? That means hallelujah anyhow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what a lot of us need to do tonight? We need to clear us off a piece of real estate and lose our dignity and say, God, you saved me. God, you delivered me. You blessed me. You've been good to me. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy of that. He deserves it tonight. He's God. And besides him, there is none else. Worship the Lord and bless his name. Celebrate his name. He's great. He's good. He's faithful. He's eternal. He's God. And he's worthy of our praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, I see the devil. Son, if he'd have been like that man on TV, he'd have said, woo! Elizabeth, this is the big one. Son, what in the world? How are we going to do? I mean, the devil's already staked his reputation. God, he'll curse you. God, it doesn't sound like he's cursing God to me. Got a young couple in our church, and I'm going to tell everybody tonight, 50 and above, 50 and above. We better do everything we can to encourage this next generation. We're in trouble in this country. You think our churches is in bad shape tonight? Give us another 15 years. We won't even be in business. We better encourage that generation behind us. And it seemed like that generation behind us, they got more to fight, they got more to put up with than any other generation's ever had. I mean, the devil comes at them from every angle. One of the fine young couples in our church, I've been there almost 30 years, and when you've been to the same church 30 years, you bury three or four congregations. This lady said to me the other day, she said, my mama's died. You think you can preach her out of the grave? I said, honey, I've preached a few people in it, but I don't think I've ever preached anybody out of it. But one of the fine young couples in our church, I've been the wife's pastor since she was 8 years old. I was standing there when she was 10 to tell her her daddy had passed away suddenly. Been her pastor since she was about 8. Her husband, I've been his pastor since he was about 12 and a half. He's one of our deacons now. And I told him the other day, I said, Kevin, you're one of the most stupid, meanest kids in our church. And it's only by the grace of God I didn't kill you in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Don't give up on them knotheads. God, get a hold of them. That's all they need anyhow for God just to get a hold of them. And I'm so proud of him. He's one of our deacons. They're serving God. They got a bunch of little old babies and raising them up in church. And I'm trying to encourage them. Man, their little boy had surgery last week. And they've had some financial crisis in this economy we live in. and then Saturday night trying to get some rest, a power surge goes through that community and about burns their house down. I mean, the lights burn. I mean, the thing looks like it's going to blow to pieces. He wasn't even able to come Sunday trying to pick up all the stuff, but he come hobbling in on Sunday night, had one of them boys in his arms. His name is Kevin. He sings in one of the specials with a choir. I said, son, get up here. I know you probably don't feel like it. Your mind's in a thousand pieces. The devil's trying to defeat you, but get on up here and let's black the devil's eye. Sing tonight what you sang two Sundays ago. Boy, sing it one more time, that Squire Parson song. I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that's saved. I sing because his grace is real to me. Son, he got to singing by faith. He got lost in the glory. He sang above his burdens. He sang above his trials. I got to throwing gas on it. It was so good my wife said amen. I'm telling you, praise God. I'm glad when you can sing when it seems there is nothing to sing about. And when you can pray, Lord, somebody help me right here. I'm glad tonight God is great and God is good. Whether I feel like it or not, whether I've experienced blessings or not, he's holy, he's great, he's sovereign, he's faithful, he's good. And I hope when the devil snoops around your place, he'll find you, instead of cursing God and blaspheming God and bad-mouthing God, may he find you worshiping God for who he is. May I say, he's worthy tonight. He's worthy tonight. He's worthy. He found a man that would worship God's person. Number two, very quickly, I want you to come to chapter number 23 of the book of Job. And I want you to find and see with me tonight the second thing that Satan found when he came snooping around Job's house. I've got wrote down on my notes, holler hallelujah right here. Hallelujah right here. He found a man that would worship God's person. But in chapter number 23, he found a man that would walk in God's path. Notice what he said in chapter 23, if you will, in verse number 11. Now watch this. Let me just say this quickly. For 23 chapters, they wanted to hear what Job has got to say. Let me just say this. One of the darkest days in Job's life was not only when the devil came, but one of the darkest days in Job's life is when all his hypocrite friends showed up. Can I run a rabbit? If you can't give a word of encouragement to somebody going through the valley, shut up! They don't need you to tell them how bad it is. They already know. I've stopped telling people about my aches and pains. Number one, they really don't care anyway. And number two, every time I tell them, they always know somebody that died with it. They don't ever know nobody that God healed from it. Everybody that's got what I got, they died with it. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to die of something. Boy, Job's friends came by. And it's really not what they said. It's what they didn't say. Because for days and days, they just stared at him. The silent treatment. You say, I don't know what that is. You ain't never been married to a woman. Because, son, they can put on the deep freeze. I walked in my home one day and I could tell it was real frosty. And I said to Mrs. Arthur, what's wrong? And I got that great answer of wisdom, nothing. I said, are you sure? Nothing. And I said to my little damsel, well, doll baby, if you're this quiet over nothing, God forbid that something ever go wrong in our family. And There's a man back there shouting, God bless you, sir. And I don't know how your wife is, but the more you're talking, the more she's balking. And finally she'll say, it ain't nothing, but it's going to be if you don't give me my space. Bless you. And for days they just stared at him. What's wrong with you? Why are you going through this? And they're trying to think of something to say. Brother Whiteheart, after I read what they said, they should have kept their mouth shut. Can I just say this tonight? You don't know everything. You don't work for God's FBI. You know what amazes me about that crowd? They know why all this stuff is happening in your life, but they don't have any idea what's happening in their life. Can I just say, I don't know about you and you don't know about me, but there's a sovereign God in heaven that knows about you and He knows about me, and His ways are not our ways, and God is always right. Job, say something. Job, say something. Listen, Job is so grieved. Job is so afflicted. He doesn't want to talk right now. But finally, they keep on agitating him. Come on, Job, say something. What do you got to say? He said, okay, here's my testimony in verse number 11, chapter number 23. Notice what he said. He said, my feet have held His steps. Glory goes right there. His way have I kept and not declined. Glory. Amen. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here it is. Job said, look up here. See my feet? You don't know where they are? They're at the same place they was before this storm ever happened. You want to see what path I'm walking? The same one I was walking before this storm ever happened. Job, who are you obeying? The same one I was obeying before this storm ever happened. I want to tell you, the devil wanted Job to curse God and die. The devil wanted Job to turn his back on God. That's what he wants you to do. That's what he wants me to do. But may the devil get the surprise of his life when he flings misery on you, for you to say, devil, I'm walking in his path. I'm holding to his hand. I'm not going back. I'm not falling down. I'm walking on. I'm pressing on. I'm staying with Him. I believe tonight He's worthy to stay with. I'm going to tell you something tonight. All of us have weaknesses. You say, I don't. Yep, we just discovered yours. Lying. I got a weakness. You got a weakness. All of God's children got a weakness. You say, what is yours? Huh. In the day of internet blogging, you think I'm going to reveal my problems? There's people right now with their phone in their hand, can't hardly wait to hear my problem. The whole world would know about it before I got outside. But we all got places where we're vulnerable and we're weak. And Satan can take the advantage of us. Now, brother, what may be your trouble may not be mine. You know what may stumble you may not stumble me. You know what you may struggle with, I may have complete victory over. But yet what you got victory over, it may be the big thing in my life. But if you never hear anything Brother Joather says to you, you get this. This is a change. This is a change your world. No matter what avenue the devil walks up to get to you, his ultimate aim and purpose and goal is the same. Whether he gets you with drink, whether he gets you with pornography, whether he gets you with gossip, whether he gets you with lying, whether he gets you with stealing, I'll hit yours in a minute. Somebody say amen. Man, whatever the devil may use as your weakness, It may, and for you, it may be dipping or something like that. And dipping and smoking and all of that other. But we all got avenues the devil can try to get to us. But you hear, Brother Joather, no matter what avenue he walks up to get to you, his ultimate goal is the same for all of us. And you know what that is? Curse God and die. Walk out on God. Back out on God. And shove God out of your life. But I want to say God's been too good to you and me. God's been too good to us. Oh, my soul. Let me ask you this tonight. Why in the world would you want to turn your back on the best friend you ever had, on the dearest friend you ever had? Let me give you a word of encouragement tonight. Don't back out. Don't turn away from the only one who can get you out of that mess you're in. You still need him. You still need him. You still need him. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. Keep on walking in God's path. These pastors here, and pastoring longer than I have, they can stand up here tonight and just about write a book on the families that's came through our churches that praise God and walk with God and serve God. There's something crazy went on in their life, and they let the devil use that to knock them down and knock them away and knock them out. And that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted you to do. He wanted you to quit church. He wanted you to quit the Bible. He wanted you to quit soul winning. He wanted you to quit your bus route. He wanted you to quit your church ministry. He wanted you to quit the choir. He wanted you to quit the special singing. He wanted you to quit what you was doing. That's why he messed with you. To discourage you so bad that you'd curse God and die. I just want to say in passing, I'm glad the past 35 years of my life, I've got to meet some saints that's been slammed, dunked, punched, kicked, and pushed. But somehow, my God, Rick, somehow. Woo! If I have this much fun tomorrow night, I'm not going to let David Shelton come on Wednesday night. Hey! But somehow, Brother Huffman, somehow. Lord, have mercy. I'm about to lose my dignity. Oh, glory. Somebody said, Brother Joe, 25 years ago you was jumping these chairs. Well, I'll just wave at them now, but I still feel it in my soul. Oh, but somehow, Pastor, I've seen them walk through the flood. I've seen them walk through the fire. My God, the funeral home, the graveyard, the hospital, the courtroom, the prison house. I've seen them somehow. Oh, Lord, somehow. Oh, Lord, woo, somehow. In their darkest hour, in their weakest moment, something on the inside goes to kicking. Something on the inside goes to breathing. Woo! Something on the inside starts moving. And they get up again. And they walk on God's path. They still go to church. They still pay their tithes. They still love God. Don't give in tonight. That's what Satan wants you to do. Walk on in Jesus' name. Press on in Jesus' name. It's worth every mile of the trip. Keep on walking in God's path. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Whew. How long am I supposed to preach? Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons. Oh, Lord. In the night seasons. In the night seasons. And all the day long. Amen. My brother, I know people who've not gone through half of what you've gone through. You wouldn't find them here tonight in an old-fashioned camp meeting serving God. They're over in a corner somewhere, cursing God, bad-mouthing the preacher, bad-mouthing the church, bunch of hypocrites. I ain't going back over there to a bunch of hypocrites. Come on, baby, we'll slide over and make room for one more. Tell you right now, I had all this stuff going on. I just forgive, bless God. God just done me wrong. Church didn't do me. Oh, shut up. Every one of us ought to be in hell when our back broke. Woo! If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd already be there. But hallelujah, I'm glad. Amen. Oh, Lord, they taught me in Bible college not to enjoy my own preaching, but tonight I can't help it. Oh, aren't you glad, young'uns, aren't you glad? There's something down on the inside. Someone said, I don't understand what makes a child of God tick. It wouldn't make Job tick. He said, it wouldn't make me tick. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Can I remind you, he's alive. He's good. He's great. He's God. Don't you quit, church. Don't you quit the Bible. Don't blow out on God. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. He's worthy. I got one more point, but the Holy Ghost said just draw it right here. There's a young couple that lives in another state. My wife and I have been trying to help them. Pastor, I don't think I've ever seen one family have so much to offer God. I don't think I've ever seen a family with that much talent and potential. There's not a pastor in this tabernacle tonight that wouldn't love to have two or three families like this. Anything in your church that needs to be done, they can do it. I mean, teach, sing, shout, music, build. I mean, I'm telling you, they are talented. But on the other hand, I've never seen a family that the devil has tried to destroy. And I guess when you got something to offer God, you have to fight the devil hell by the acre to give it to God. And by the way, if you were the devil, who would you want to mess with? Someone said, I don't understand it, Brother Jervis. Since I got saved, started living for God, looks like the devil won't leave me alone. That's a good sign you're saved and living for God. Well, why did the devil bother me before I got right with God? He didn't have to. You were no threat. Satan has turned his guns on this little family. I've never seen anything like it. He called me the other night and he was squalling, he was screaming. He said, Brother Joe, I think she just lost her mind. I think she just lost it. I said, what happened, son? He said, she came storming in the living room, preacher. And she took her Bible and she screamed. And she threw the Bible against the wall. It hit the wall so hard it burst through the sheetrock, fell down between the studs. Said she reached in that wall and got that Bible out and throwed it on the ground again and stomped it. And said, I'm through with the Bible, I'm through with God, and I'm through with you. And she storms out the door. You look up here at me. That's what the devil wanted her to do. I believe when that girl did that, I believe every demon in hell jumped up and said, that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted. But you know what me and my wife are praying about? I'd love to be there that day when she gets the joy back. When she gets the touch back. Woo! And she picks that Bible back up again and I want to be in service with her one time when she shouts the glory down. You say, Brother Arthur, you can't recover from a fit like that. Are you on drugs? Somebody's done messed with your mind. Well, Brother Joe, you can't recover after a deal like that. Well, let me just remind you, it wasn't too pretty of a scene that night when old Simon Peter was over there by that fire cussing and swearing not once, not twice, but three times that he didn't even know who Jesus was. But 3 days later, whoop, 3 days later, you know what? Put one of them chairs right there. I believe I might try that one more time. Hey, 3 days later, standing by a resurrection ground, there was a man clothed in white. And Mary came down to the tomb. And that man clothed in white said, hey, go back up out of Jerusalem and tell the disciples of Jesus. Tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. Tell his disciples and Peter. Don't ask about John. Don't ask about Matthew. Don't ask about Thomas. Bless God, he wouldn't believe it anyhow. But go up there and ask about Peter. Go tell Peter. If you don't tell the rest of them, you make sure you go tell Peter. Tell him I'm alive. I'm headed in that direction. And I'll meet him in the morning. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Mary does a 360. She slings gravel out of that garden. Son, she runs back up to Jerusalem. She knocks on that door. I see them old wimpy disciples. Who is it? Who is it? And it's me. It's Mary. Open the door. I got something to tell y'all. And I believe she said y'all. The Holy Ghost was on her, so I know she said all. Up north where I preach, they say, praise the Lord, you guys. I said it ain't praise the Lord, you guys. It's hallelujah, y'all. I was preaching in Philadelphia the other day. This lady said, well, Brother Arthur, praise the Lord, man. That was an awesome message. Praise the Lord. Really? I preached that same sermon down in Alabama. Little boy said, oh, there I am. I got out there. Good right there. Good right there, boy. There right there. Woo! You say, where is High Point? Somewhere between praise the Lord and all that, right there, right there, right there. I'm trying to move on. She said, open the door, boys. I got something to say. What is it, Mary? He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Woo! Then she said, by the way, where's Peter? Tell him to come out here. I got a special message for that old boy. Old Peter walks out there and he's cried so much he's got the snubs. Got them dark circles. His eyes look like road maps. What is it, Mary? What is it? She said, Simon, he's alive, son. He ain't nailed to that cross. He's not even wrapped up in that tomb, son. He is alive. And that ain't all. He's calling you by name. He is interested in you. Boy, I believe the first thing he said was, wow, he ain't mad at me anymore. And he still cares and he still loves me. You saw Brother Arthur. I tell you, Brother Arthur, I bet his ministry, you know, probably wasn't much to him after that. Well, well, well. Let me say to you what I said to the devil. Liar, 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 your pants is on fire. 40 days later, it's Pentecost Sunday. They're there from the north and the south and the east and the west by the thousands to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And the buzz is in the air. I wonder who will be the keynote speaker for our meeting. I wonder who would deliver a religious address to this religious congregation. And about that time, little tall, brawny, ex-cussing Simon Peter Fishing stands up and walks to the pulpit. And I see your sister Wiggle Jaw. Look at Brother Tell It All. Look over at the First Baptist Independent Church of Know It All. And say, ooh, not him. Surely the Lord can do better than that. Why, if he's a preacher, the woods is full of them. I won't walk across the stop. Shut up. Son, he stood up. And in the power of the Holy Ghost, he preached Jesus. And the preaching went forth. And the power came down. And God saved 3,000 souls. I want to tell you, failure's not final. Failure's not final. Walk on in God's path. Keep on worshiping God. He'll turn it around. God won't fail. He'll come through. The devil is a liar. Let's prove it tonight. Let this world know you're on the Lord's side. And God is good. He found a man that would worship. He found a man that would walk. And he found a man that would wait. For Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Can I encourage you tonight to walk with God? Because when I see Jesus smile, hear him say, well done, my child, it'll be worth every mile of the trip. He's been good to us. He saved our soul from hell. He deserves more out of us than bad mouthing and quitting. He deserves praise and worship. Keep on serving God. God's going to turn this thing around. Let's stand together tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for old time camp meeting. I'm glad, Lord, that's still a remnant left in these last days that love you. And they're not ashamed of you. And God, in these last days, Satan's pulled out all the stoppers. He's throwing everything he's got at the church of the living God, trying to steal our shout and our joy and our song, trying to knock us out, trying to keep us from that great reward of being faithful. Tonight, Lord, I'm glad you're still God and you're still real. Lord, you're able tonight, like that little boxer, rise up in us. Let us stand back on our feet again. Minister grace to the hearers tonight. Encourage some child of God to keep on going till they hear the trumpet sound. We'll thank you tonight and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed all over the building and they'll come to the instruments tonight.